Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, what's up, bud?
Hey, James, what's going on? It's not Tuesday, it's Wednesday. That's talking correct. To each other. I'm sure you'll talk a little bit about the troubles that have plagued you recently, but for my part, everything same old, doing well, excited for week six. I'm definitely not bemoaning how bad my team is, even though I have a winning record. It just feels like my team is worse than everybody else's. I think I'm just my own worst critic, I guess. But trying to move past that, looking forward to week six, looking forward to talking through all the matchups with you. But before we get started, I want to know how you are doing tonight.
Well, you know, Dr. Stu, it's been a tough last 48 hours with tech problems. I did a routine update for my computer over the weekend and hadn't turned it on again because we had people at the house and I didn't need to. And whatever was in that Windows update, it just decided to completely destroy my computer. It just bricked my hard drive. So I've been spending a lot of time today and yesterday trying to figure out how to fix that. I went out and bought a new hard drive today and am still trying to figure out how to put Windows onto that hard drive, and hopefully it is actually a problem with the hard drive and not something with the computer at large, and I didn't just waste a bunch of money on that. But we are here to talk fantasy football. There are no hard drives in fantasy football. Absolutely none. No computers. None of that data analytics crap. I mean, that's kind of all fantasy football is. But we're here to talk about players for week six preview. It's been a long day, Stu. I don't know if you can hear
well,
my voice.
I can get us started, and if I get us started and get rolling, then the energy will come to you, right?
That's right. All right, Stu, take us to our Thursday night game. Oh, and by the way, our buys for this week, there's only two teams. Those are the Texans and the Vikings. So if you are someone who has Nico Collins, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, and if you're a crazy person, CJ Stroud, Woody Marks, Jaden Higgins, Carson Wentz, I think, would still be the starter there, but we'll see how that happens outside of the bye week. Jordan Mason and Jordan Addison, don't start those people because they're not playing. So, Stu, talk to us about some people who are playing on Thursday.
Yeah, if you are so down on your last rope that you're starting Carson Wentz and you're affected by him being on bye, then I just feel sorry for you.
Hey, those
okay, Thursday nights. Thursday night, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles visiting the New York Giants. The Eagles are 7-point favorites with an over-under of 40.5. We'll go ahead and start with the Giants because I think it's an easier conversation to talk about. Most of these people, I don't feel you're going to be able to be starting at this point. Eagles are a great defense. I know that, you know, you're at home, you're at MetLife, you should be able to start things. I don't really trust this Giants offense in its current iteration. Jackson Dart, not a startable fantasy asset. You know, he's playing decently well, but it's not, you know, fantasy relevant for us outside of pretty deep leagues. And as such, his position players, his skill position players, people like Wandale Robinson, don't want to start him. Darius Slayton was a popular pickup off of waivers last week, and he ended up hurting a hamstring. He's probably not even going to play. The couple of people that you do want to keep your eye on include Theo Johnson, the New York Giants tight end. I think he's a second-year guy. He's been coming on in the last couple weeks, which coincidentally are the last two games that Jackson Dart has started. So if this trend keeps going, you may want to see if you can't sneak him onto your rosters before Thursday night, or just keep an eye on him and, you know, try to pounce on him in waivers next week. The other guy we want to concentrate on is Cam Scataboo, who has been kind of breaking out in the last half month to a full month or so. He's really benefited from Tyrone Tracy being out with a shoulder injury, but guess what? Tyrone Tracy is without an injury designation. He's going to be back out there most likely on Thursday. So it'll be interesting to see what Scadaboo's role is in an offense that is now, you know, shared. But I think he is still startable as a low-end RB2, and he's really the only guy that I want to be starting from the Giants overall. Tyrone Tracy is a bench target, or if he's out there on waivers, you can keep an eye on him. For the visiting Eagles, Saquon Barkley cropping up on the injury report. I haven't seen anything to indicate that he's going to miss the game, but if he's out there, you're going to start him. I don't care that he had only six carries against Denver last week. Denver's a great defense, and Saquon's a great player. Jalen Hurts is a start. Devontae Smith is one that I want to be starting over A.J. Brown at this point, but only because of recency bias. They finally had a decent week throwing the ball, and it all went to Smith last week. A.J. Brown still mired in the high targets but low production quagmire. Dallas Goedert, for his part, still startable as a tight end. He's scoring touchdowns. He's got four in the four games played. He's doing pretty well for that. So hopefully stick him in there and get some benefit from Dallas Goedert. James, go ahead and take us to it's Sunday, right? Sunday morning is we're across the seas again for like the third week in a row.
Sunday morning across the pond in foggy London town. Go. The Denver Broncos visiting the New York Jets. The Broncos in this one are 7-point favorites, and I think that might be a little steep for me. Might look for the Jets to creep a little closer there. I don't hate this matchup as much as a lot of other people do, but let's start with the team that should be the better team here, and that is the Denver Broncos, starting with the quarterback, Bo Nix. So, with Bo Nix, he's currently sitting, I believe, is at the QB 13 in standard scoring leagues. And with him, I'm going to say choose your battles. Bo Nix is going to be a guy who is not going to be a reliable start every week. I think he's going to be a start most weeks. But as we've kind of seen, some weeks he's going to be a QB1, some weeks he's not. And when we say choose your battles, I think this is a battle you choose. I think if you don't have something that's obviously better, this is a good week to start Bo Nix. I like the chance for the Jets to keep this closer than people think, and therefore the opportunity for Bo Nix to continue hitting some of his offensive weapons in a bit more of a reliable way. Cortland Sutton seems to be the most important tool that he has at his disposal, seeing that Cortland Sutton is a top 10 wide receiver right now. He's going to be an auto start this week, I think. J.K. Dobbins, I also think, should be a start as an RB2. And R.J. Harvey is probably not a real starter unless something happens to Dobbins. But he will, as we've seen in blowout games, get some opportunities if they're ahead. I don't know that this is going to be the week that happens. I would be satisfied to keep him stashed. But, you know, if he gets an odd opportunity, he might make something out of it. Troy Franklin, another receiver to think about, and Marvin Mims. I'm not starting either of these guys. I'm not even really excited to roster them. But Troy Franklin has put up numbers that have interested me in parts. Marvin Mims has had a breakout game or two as well, but they're not going to be reliable options with Cortland Sutton also being there. But if something happens to Cortland Sutton, there's going to be a lot of voided targets. So that's something to think about. And Evan Engram is the tight end 26. Don't fall for it. Everybody's telling you, look at Evan Engram's statistics. There's nothing interesting to look at. Don't look at Evan Engram. Looking at the Jets, I also like this matchup for Justin Fields. And if you need a streamer and Justin Fields is available, Or if your other quarterback has a lousy matchup, I actually like Justin Fields this week. I think he's going to have a good opportunity to use his feet against a good defense that is going to try to take away some of his other weapons like Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. Garrett Wilson still has to be an auto start. He is a wide receiver one in this league. Breece Hall also should be an auto start as an RB2. Mason Taylor has been coming up a lot in the tight end conversations. He might be worth a spot start in this situation. I wouldn't be excited to do it, but I would look at him if you need somebody to possibly look at Mason Taylor at tight end. So, Stu, go ahead and take us to Pittsburgh.
Sure. I do remember when I told everyone to watch out for Mason Taylor last week. Just saying. Okay.
Good job, Stu.
So, we are next talking about the Steelers and the Browns. So, honestly, kind of an interesting matchup as Cleveland visits Pittsburgh. Because it should be a very defensively minded matchup. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers coming off their bye last week. And the big question is Jaylen Warren, who was, if you recall, that surprise inactive in week 4 against Minnesota, also across the pond. So he's had 2 weeks to get healthy. I don't know if you've heard anything, James, but I haven't heard anything to indicate that he's going to be out. He indeed practiced fully Wednesday, that being today, the 8th of October. So if he is out there, he has been lighting the world on fire here to start the season, so he should find his way back into your lineups, but always something to keep an eye on, especially when Kenneth Gainwell, his primary backup, exploded against Minnesota. He's going to fall back to irrelevancy. He's probably been picked up. I don't expect him to be a start candidate at this time. DK Metcalf can find his way into your lineups, and Aaron Rodgers probably not at this point. I don't love that against the Cleveland defense, which has been pretty good and pretty solid to start the season. Tight end in Pittsburgh is Jonnu Smith, not relevant in the slightest. We will always have the end of last year, Jonnu. Okay, going to the Cleveland side. We have the second started game from Dylan Gabriel, who was serviceable last week. He at least didn't turn the ball over a single time, but he wasn't anything, you know, flashy, and they did end up losing the game, although it was close, being, I think, 21-7, or 17 that they lost. He found a way to throw touchdowns to both tight ends, Harold Fannin Jr. and David Njoku. If you're looking at pure volume, though, it seemed like Njoku was the target in that offense that you want to be a part of fantasy-wise when you're talking about Dylan Gabriel. So Fannin kind of saved his day with the touchdown. He really didn't have very much production at all. On the wideout side, Jerry Jeudy is droppable probably at this point. And then we also have rookie Isaiah Bond, who's gotten some looks because Chris Tillman, the other wide receiver, is going to be out till week 10 or so. I am personally not interested in Bond unless I'm in a very, very deep league, and I'm almost less interested in Jerry Jeudy at this point of the year. The last guy and the most important, saved him for last, best for last, Quinshon Judkins is going to be started as an RB1 week in and week out. He's a set and forget at this point based on the volume, the production, the juice that he's got. He looks really, really, really good. So that was pretty quick. Take us to the next one, James.
All right. So for our second noon kick of the day, we are going to Indianapolis, and we're starting with the Cardinals, who are traveling to play the Colts. The Colts are 6.5-point favorites, which I think might be a little generous to the Cardinals. I expect the Colts to win by multiple scores here. Starting for the Cardinals, possibly, is Kyler Murray. We don't actually know if he's going to be starting. He went out with a foot injury last week in their shocking loss to the Titans, right? Am I correct on that? Loss to the Titans?
Yes. Okay. The Cardinals lost to the Titans.
I knew it was shocking. I just was like, did they actually lose to the Titans? Are they that bad? They could be that bad.
How did they do that?
With Kyler Murray going down with a foot injury. But the coaching staff has been kind of cagey on answering the is Kyler Murray available question. As of 6 hours ago, He did not practice today, so it is unclear if he's going to be available. If he is available, then I think Marvin Harrison Jr., who right now is a wide receiver 22, and I would look at really as a flex more than a wide receiver 2 this week. If Kyler Murray is not available, I don't think you start any Cardinals wide receivers. You still start Trey McBride at tight end. But there is the running back situation. So last week we talked about Trey Benson going on IR. Actually, that might have happened after we recorded last week, now that I'm thinking about it. But there was the whole Amari DiMercato versus Michael Carter debate. And it ended up being that Michael Carter was the guy who got the bulk of the work. And Amari DiMercato didn't help himself by becoming the second player in 2 weeks to drop the ball as he was running into the end zone. Just run the damn ball in. Right? I don't think that's a hard thing to do. But anyway.
Just hand the ball to the referee. Just hand it to him yourself.
Like you can.
It's easy.
You can do whatever you want with the football. Just get across the damn line. That's your one job. But anyway, he's probably not going to be getting the ball much this week. It's going to be Michael Carter. And even so, I wouldn't be excited about starting Michael Carter against this Colts defense. He's probably in the low RB2 situation, if I had to assess that. But if I can get away with not starting him, I will not start him. But for the Colts, Danny Dimes is a must start in this matchup. I think last time I said he was a must start, he ended up being hurt by A.D. Mitchell doing what I just said. Amari DiMercato did. Otherwise, he would have been a QB1. But in this one, I think it's basically guaranteed that he will be. Same with Jonathan Taylor. Guaranteed RB1 this week. Must start. Tyler Warren remains a must start. And I think if we're talking about picking your battles with Michael Pittman, he is currently the wide receiver 13 in standard scoring PPR scoring leagues, which seems really high for him and having seen the production he's had, but he is. I think this is a week you start Michael Pittman as a wide receiver 2 with the possibility of scoring even better than that. I think at this point, you can't look at guys like Josh Downs, Alec Pierce. Those guys might be hurt anyway. And A.D. Mitchell, do not have him on your roster. So I like Pittman this week. I like Warren, Taylor, and Jones. No other Colts. Also, Spencer Schrader out for the season, I believe. So if you have him, go ahead and drop him. Stu, take us to Baltimore.
Yeah, an honestly really sad matchup as the Rams head into Baltimore to play the Ravens. So we've got the Rams as 7.5-point road favorites with an over-under of 44.5. This Ravens team, it's going to be the more interesting thing to talk about because the Rams, it's just find a way to get them in your lineups. The Ravens defense is so beleaguered by injury. They are running out second, third, fourth stringers. They are giving up yardage points by the trunk load. You want the Rams in your lineups, and that includes Stafford, who's had two really, really good weeks. That is going to continue at least one more week, probably all the way through to his bye, since he takes his talents to Jacksonville next week. But Stafford, Devontae Adams, Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, all of them are in your lineups. You want the Rams defense in your lineup. You want Josh Cardy in your lineup. I draw the line at Blake Corum, though. You can probably not start Blake Corum safely. On the flip side, the Ravens, look, Lamar Jackson's going to be out. It's the smart thing to do to leave him out. Then they go into their week 7 bye. He can be back after that. The word out of their camp is that Snoop Huntley, Tyler Huntley, former Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley, is possibly going to get the start after Cooper Rush did not impress last week, throwing in 3 interceptions.
That's putting it a little lightly.
I mean, Huntley is Is that an improvement? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm going to say probably not really. But that just means the people, like the second tier Ravens, like Mark Andrews, I'm going to try my best to find a way to get them out of my lineup. It's the two, Zay Flowers and Derrick Henry, that we really have to talk about. Because Derrick Henry is starting to really disappoint people. He fell into the end zone last week, which kind of saved his week, but 15 carries, 33 yards for an average of 2.2. And they're playing from behind, which is the worst thing, because Derrick Henry is just, he's better when his team is ahead and they're winning and he's able to just, you know, grind out those attempts. And he's so hard to bring down. He's still huge. It's not like he's lost his size. It's just, if they get behind, and they very much will against these Rams, Derrick Henry becomes a very hesitant flex target for me at best. Zay Flowers, I feel a little bit better. I mean, you have to throw the ball to somebody, and I don't think it's going to be, in volume-wise, Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely, so it's going to be Zay. As long as Huntley can hit him for 4 or 5 receptions, I think he'll have a decent enough day that you won't hate starting him, but it's going to be pretty bleak on the Ravens side of the football for sure, James. Go ahead and take us to the Jaguars game then.
And down to sunny Jacksonville we go, fresh off of that really exciting win over the Chiefs on Monday night. That was an awesome game. That was very exciting for the Jaguars. A win that their franchise needed badly, I think, and it shows that franchise is coming together a little bit. The Jaguars are 1.5 favorites over the Seahawks this week, which, you know, if you even said that 2 weeks ago, really even last week, that would have been a little bit shocking. But I think the way Trevor Lawrence is playing right now and the way that Liam Cohen has that team going, I think that good things are ahead for Jacksonville. So Trevor Lawrence, I think when talking about him as a situational spot start guy, I think that there are going to be moments through the season where we are going to start thinking about him with how that offense is starting to move. Not this week. This is not a week you want Trevor Lawrence. I think he's probably going to still be on waivers in most leagues. Let's keep him there. Brian Thomas, still can't trust him. Still hasn't been showing us the reliability that we need to let him back into our lives. He is probably one of the most, if not the most, disappointing players in fantasy football this year. I don't know if he's the most, but he's definitely in the running. Unownable are any other Jaguars wide receivers. If you haven't dropped Travis Hunter yet, I don't think his production is going to tick up that much yet, but I don't think he's worth giving a lot of thought to at the moment. Brenton Strange for tight ends was getting a little bit of movement, a little bit of momentum at the tight end position. He is on IR with a quad injury right now, so gone is that momentum. And then there are the running backs. Travis Etienne had a rough week last week. He was operating, I believe, as the RB9 going into this week, or going into last week. After that tough start, I don't think that his status changes as a must-start running back. I think you still start him this week. Just understand this might be another bit of a slower week for him unless he can find the end zone. And I think that there's probably pretty good odds, at least as good odds as any other game that he does. Then looking at the Seahawks, we've got Sam Darnold, who is a kind of similar to Trevor Lawrence, a situational streamer. I also don't like him this week either. For the running backs, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet have been a weird little puzzle to try and figure out ever since Kenneth Walker decided to screw his team over with an unsportsmanlike conduct and got kind of benched for that one game 2 weeks ago. The splits between those two guys have been a little bit hard to predict. So I'm not jazzed about either, but I do think both are in the low RB2 slash flex category this week with Kenneth Walker above Charbonnet just by a bit. Jackson Smith and Jigba, obviously a must start. He's going into this week as a wide receiver 4, and I don't think anyone has been upset to start him yet this year. Bench Cooper Kupp, I think he's only worth having if something happens to JSN, but I honestly would kind of rather have Torrey Horton. He's becoming an interesting stash that I would like to, you know, maybe take a look at if I got a free roster spot. Similar with tight end AJ Barner. He's getting pretty hot in the streets right now. He's had a few good weeks. I like him. Pick him up. Maybe think about a spot start. Stu, take us to Carolina.
Absolutely, I can do that. We've got the Dallas Cowboys visiting the Carolina Panthers. We have a Cowboy team that is 3-point road favorites, the over-under being 49.5, so expecting a little bit of a higher scoring game. I mean, of course, any game with Dallas in it is going to be high scoring. Their offense has been showing out, and their defense has been staying home. CeeDee Lamb is still not practicing. He has yet to do any on-the-field work, so he's probably going to be out this week. But he's been covered for, let's say, by George Pickens and Jake Ferguson. Both, they have been shining since CeeDee Lamb has been shelved, especially Jake Ferguson. He's scoring touchdowns in bunches, essentially. So he needs to be in your lineups. And George Pickens as well is kind of a high-end wide receiver too, I'd say. He does draw a lot of the focus from defenses, so sometimes you see the tertiary guys shine. Like last week, we saw Ryan Flournoy. Raise your hand if you knew this guy before last week, because you're probably a Cowboys fan, or you do this stuff, you know, analyzing fantasy content for fun. Anyway, so Ryan Flournoy kind of broke out a little bit. 9 targets, 6 receptions, 114 yards. He also got 2 carries for 10 yards. I don't expect that to be the case going forward. George Pickens was shadowed by Sauce Gardner most of the day, which leaves parts of the field open for other, like I said, tertiary options like Flournoy. I don't think he's worth picking up at this point or starting, definitely. If he can string together a couple games of this, maybe I can reconsider. But by then, CeeDee Lamb is going to be gearing up for his return, and you're going to, you know, drop Flournoy or maybe even Jalen Tolbert back into free agency. Let's see. Javonte Williams. I almost didn't talk about him. My gosh, if I was wrong about one person walking into the fantasy season, it was Javonte Williams. Mm-hmm. He's been incredible for fantasy. Just good for him, honestly.
Remember when we thought Jaden Blue was going to be the guy?
Hey, Jaden Blue got to play last week. We're making strides. He scored a single fantasy point.
Yes. That was the guy I told everybody to target late in drafts.
It's true. You were high on the blue.
Yeah.
You were in your blue period. If I can make an art joke. That doesn't really make sense. Okay, on the flip side, Carolina. Bryce Young, quarterback. If you're really desperate for a quarterback stream, you could probably do worse than the person playing against Dallas, but I still think it would be disgusting. The most fun thing to talk about would be the running back stable. Rico Flippin' Dowdle. It's the revenge game for Dowdle. He's coming back to play the Dallas Cowboys, who, of course, let him walk in free agency. And this on the heels of a performance against Miami that just blew everyone away. 206 yards rushing. Incredible stuff. Look for him to be... Just put him in your lineups and just watch the game, because it should be fun. The thing you have to worry about is Chuba Hubbard. He's been out for a little bit with a calf injury. That's why Dowdle got his opportunities last year. And Hubbard did not practice today, Wednesday, the 8th of October. So if he's out again, you know, wheels up for Rico. Wide receivers, Tet McMillan, it's going to come soon. Like, he's producing, and he has yet to find the end zone. It's going to happen. If you want to get a hold of Tet McMillan, you should do it now, especially before this week's game. if you can, because if he falls into the end zone a couple times, you're never going to be able to trade for him again. So get out ahead of it if you can. That kind of wraps up the Carolina-Dallas game, James. Where are we going next?
All right, next up, we are going to Miami to see the Miami Dolphins play against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are 4.5-point favorites in this game, as they well should be. For Los Angeles, little bit of a weird week last week for those wide receivers. We had been previously seeing Quentin Johnston leading the pack there, with Keenan Allen being the number two, and surprisingly Ladd McConkey being the number three. We saw that trend kind of bucked last week against the Commanders. A few thoughts on each of those three guys. For Quentin Johnston, I would say if you had started relying on him to be your wide receiver one, don't necessarily panic just yet. The Commanders didn't have a terrible defense. They kind of knew what they were doing. They've got a pretty good coaching staff there, so they're going to take away what you do well. I wouldn't panic on Quentin Johnston. Keep starting him. Keenan Allen, he had a down week. You should have been flexing him anyway. I think he remains flexible. And then there's Ladd McConkey, who remains difficult to understand and difficult to trust. I think that better days are ahead for him. I'm not ready for them to be here yet. So that's kind of how I view those receivers this week. Then there's Justin Herbert himself. I think this is a good week to start him in. He's probably elevated to the point where he can be a most every week starter. This is a week where I think this is a good spot to start him. As for running back, obviously Najee Harris was out for the season with an Achilles injury. Now Amarian Hampton is going on IR, which means that if we would have put this out a little earlier yesterday, that's my fault, I apologize. We would have been talking about choosing between Hassan Haskins or Kamani Vidal to be targeting in your waivers. I think general consensus is that Hassan Haskins is probably the guy to take. We were talking about that a little bit earlier, and I would agree with that. We've seen a little bit of what Kamani Vidal can do, and it doesn't seem to be much. So if you need somebody, Hassan Haskins is a guy who I like to possibly get a low RB to, probably more comfortable putting him in the flex if you desperately need him. If he gets a touchdown, which I think he's got as good a chance as anybody else is getting some goal line touches, then you're going to be happy with that spot start. And we'll just kind of have to see what he does in an unexpected starting situation. But Haskins, the guy to target there, if for some reason your waivers haven't gone through yet. So, Dr. Stu, you want to take us to New Orleans?
I sure can. Of course, I get this game. One of my most frustrating fantasy draft picks in this game. Anyway, so New England going into the Superdome. They are 3.5 road favorites. I swear I get all the road favorites this week. The over-under is 45.5. Let's just start with New England. Old man Stephon Diggs, good for him. Back-to-back triple-digit yardage weeks. He's finally looking like a wide receiver one. James, you were high on him going into drafts as a kind of a little bit of an investment pick there in the middle to late rounds, and that's paying off for people that managed to get a hold of Stephon Diggs. Other wide receivers in New England are not really feasible or interesting. Drake May, for his part, is startable as a QB1. He is, had a very good season so far. A little bit of down against Buffalo, but mostly because he didn't throw any touchdowns. They scored all of their touchdowns on the ground with the guy who's killing me, Ramondre Stevenson. The running back stable, we have a lot to talk about here. So Ramondre Stevenson, the incumbent over the rookie Travion Henderson, and then you sprinkle a little bit of the Antonio Gibson in there. So I will address all three. Stevenson has his fumbling issues. If you're starting him, you need to be aware of that. But the fact remains that the coaching staff is in his corner. He is going to get opportunities. He's going to get goal line touches. The between the tackles work is Stevenson. Stevenson's. So he's a worthwhile starter, and I'll tell you why. Antonio Gibson tore his ACL last week. It was kind of a three-headed monster. They were all, you know, somewhat productive in their own ways, very frustrating in their own ways. But now Antonio Gibson, unfortunate for him, but has been removed from this equation. So Ramondre Stevenson should even see a bump in his production or volume, his opportunities. So if he was in your lineup before, he should still be in your lineup now. It's the other guy that kills me, Travion Henderson. Maybe I just bought the hype in the preseason, but he looked great in the preseason, and he's just not a startable fantasy asset at this point. He's been in trouble for pass blocking. He's been inefficient. Don't want to start him. You shouldn't want to start him. I am starting him this week. I tell you, I don't really like my team very much, but I am starting him this week. Just banking on the fact that he will get increased workload with Antonio Gibson going down. It's not going to be a lot, but perhaps he breaks off a big one and, you know, saves my fantasy day. You should, for your part, try to not start Travion Henderson if you can. Hunter Henry's still a startable asset at the tight end position. He's going to have blow-up weeks. He's going to have down weeks, but that's pretty much all you can expect from a tight end. It's a pretty sad position overall. On the opposite side, the Saints, a couple of other interesting things to talk about. Of course, quarterback Spencer Rattler, not really a startable fantasy asset. He's a QB2 at this point. He's played reasonably well, and good for him. Kendre Miller in the running back stable has had his volume increase, his opportunities increase every week, and in the same ilk, incumbent Alvin Kamara has been decreasing at the same rate. Kamara hurt his ankle in practice on Wednesday, actually. That's one thing that we need to keep an eye on. There's rumblings that he's going to get traded out of town. He's a veteran player. The Saints are not going anywhere this year. Maybe they send him off. So Kendre Miller needs to be rostered, even if he's just a bench target, because he could very well get the lion's share of the work if Alvin Kamara leaves town. In the wide receiver room, Rashid Shaheed had a fantastic week last week. Good for him. 4 catches, 114 yards, and a touchdown on 5 targets. That's still not a lot of targets in an offense that's not very good. I'm glad that he blew up, but he's still not in the startable conversation for me. Chris Olave, on the other hand, is more of a steady contributor. He's not going to have the blow-up games that Shaheed has, but I think Olave is startable as a flex option if you're, you know, a Nico Collins owner or something like that. Juwan Johnson, the hottest tight end to come off the waiver wire in weeks 1 through 3, has since fallen back down to earth. It's going to be up to you guys whether you want to drop him or not. I personally would not drop him at this point. You just kind of ride the wave with the tight end position. But if you can have another option to not start Juwan Johnson, you should look at that pretty closely. Don't drop him. Get him on your bench. James, anything else from this game, or are you taking us on to the Raiders and the Titans? Oh God, what a game.
To delay talking about that game for a second, because it is going to be ugly. I did drop Juwan Johnson.
You did?
I did. Not because I was super excited about anything on waivers either, just because of the fact that, you know, you can ride the tight end position however you want, but in this situation, I think Juwan Johnson is a streamer anyway, so it's time to stream. But thinking about Alvin Kamara, if he did get traded, and I've heard those rumors as well, I'm wondering, Stu, where you would like him to go as a fantasy dream destination. I was thinking maybe like a Houston or a Washington, maybe even Kansas City.
Kansas City, maybe. I don't see Washington if JCM is going to break out like he has been. I want the chaos. I want him to go to the Chargers.
Let's see. He would, well, you know, with those guys injured, that would actually work extremely well.
I mean, he'd have to be traded now, but I just want to see the Omarion Hampton people just freak out.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of the less likely destinations, but I don't know. I at this point, unless something is like actively in the works that we know for sure about, everything is unlikely. You hear this kind of stuff mid-season all the time, and it doesn't usually pan out, but sometimes it does. But let's go to the afternoon games. We've got the Titans heading to the giant Roomba in the desert to play the Las Vegas Raiders. The Titans are still, everyone is generally unstartable except for Tony Pollard. He's the RB25. Treat him as such. Only start him if you absolutely have to, and preferably in the flex. For the Raiders, this is going to be a complicated game to think about for everybody but Ashton Jeanty. Ashton Jeanty is a set it and forget it for this game. I know he has disappointed you most games this season. He's not going to disappoint you this week. But for these other guys, the Raiders are bad. We can just kind of accept that. I want to talk about Brock Bowers. And I'm not going to talk about how you should be drafting tight ends. We're past that. We don't need to talk about that anymore. It's week six. Let's get over that. Brock Bowers, it's unclear if he's going to be playing this week. We know he's been injured and didn't play last week. He's considered day-to-day, and I have heard multiple different things saying multiple different things about his availability this week. Some people saying he should be back this week. Some people say that he's a true game-time decision. Some people saying that he's going to be out. Just have a backup plan ready to go. If Brock Bowers is able to go, he's an auto start, as he would be always. But it's just a tough situation. Keep an eye on it and let the insiders tell you what you need to know as far as his injury designation is concerned. For the wide receivers, they're more difficult than that even. Not because of injuries, but because of production. Even against a team like the Titans, what can we expect? Because Geno Smith is not in any passing leadership conversations here. Jacoby Myers had a good 2 weeks to start the season and then has kind of given way to Trey Tucker. Trey Tucker hasn't given real startable production either. If I like either of those guys this week, I like Trey Tucker. I really don't like any of them, but I, at this point, would think that Trey Tucker should be rostered, and I would think that he should be kept a close eye on to overtake Jacoby Myers for, like, the true wide receiver one role in this offense. I mean, really, the wide receiver one is Brock Bowers, but injured, someone has to get those looks. And I think Trey Tucker is the guy, at least this week. Not that I'm starting him unless you're in a pretty deep league here. I think that's it for that game. Stu, take us to Tampa.
Yeah, interesting game here. 49ers traveling over to Tampa Bay. Got a lot to talk about. First, getting the betting stuff out of the way. The Buccaneers are 3-point favorites over the 49ers with an over-under of 47.5. Let's go ahead and start with Tampa Bay, shall we? Tampa Bay, a fun team. Baker Mayfield, QB1, even if he's missing Mike Evans, even if he's possibly missing Chris Godwin, who even cares? He's got a Mecca Igbuka, and he's an MVP candidate. Good job, Baker Mayfield. People that are out this game, like I said, Mike Evans is going to be out. Bucky Irving's going to be out another week with a foot/shoulder injury, something like that. So we're going to see a lot of Rashad White again. 14 opportunities last week with 2 touchdowns. Not flashy, but you're going to want to find a way to get Rashad White into your lineup as an RB2 or flex option. Emeka Igbuka is, what, offensive rookie of the year?
For sure.
Easily?
No question.
Crazy. Crazy. Stunning. He was one that the hype was not lying. He crushed me last week. My opponent had him, and I lost by 40 points. Good for Kelsey. Happy birthday to your well, happy belated birthday to your wife there, James.
Happy birthday, wife.
Belated.
Belated.
As far as the Tampa Bay, that's really all there is for those guys. Chris Godwin, I choose to believe that he's still ramping up from injury. He's not getting the targets last week that he did in week 4 against Philadelphia. He had exactly the same line, 3 receptions for 26 yards. And he also did not practice today, whether it's just a rest day for a veteran coming off of an injury, or maybe there's something else there. But I am watching that very closely as I've started Chris Godwin in, what, the last 2 weeks? It's gross and disgusting. On the flip side, we've got the 49ers. Mac Jones, he's probably going to wear a different suit this time. I don't know if you guys saw his suit, but it was a weird, like, dichotomous black and red number. It was very strange. He's playing well, though. Dichotomous number. He is playing well, so he's 2 touchdowns last week, 33 for 49. Had a couple carries for about 5 yards. He was limited in practice today, so something to keep an eye on. He's not really one that I want to start, but in this sort of game, you could probably start him because they're going to have to throw. And the biggest question is, who is he throwing to besides Christian McCaffrey? Christian McCaffrey, of course, being an RB1 target. We don't even need to talk about that at this point. But George Kittle's on IR. Ricky Pearsall missed last week. Juwan Jennings missed last week. I just looked it up right now. Neither of those guys practiced. Pearsall and Jennings practiced today. So if they are out again, you may well see a lot of what we saw last week. Either Kendrick Bourne leading the way for the wide receivers, or even the tight end Jake... Tunges. Back-to-back weeks with a touchdown for Tunges. Good for him. But Bourne had himself a career day last week. 10 receptions on 11 targets, 142 yards. Didn't even score a touchdown. James, I need you to help me. Start-sit situation. Are you starting Kendrick Bourne over Chris Godwin?
I mean, over Chris Godwin, yeah.
Most others, probably not.
No. It'd be an emergency, but yeah, over Chris Godwin, yeah. Sorry about overreacting to the 10 targets he got 2 weeks ago, by the way.
I mean, no, you have to... It's logical. It was logical. You have to go with your logic, and it's not always going to work out. I'm being bitten by my cat right now, and that's kind of rude. I don't think there's anything else, really, that I wanted to talk about in this game. So why don't you bring us to Cincinnati?
You know, I was looking kind of at our slate, and I was wondering again, are there no good games, or did I just get all the bad ones? And there are maybe like one or two good games, and I think you got all of them again. I think I got the good games last week, but I got the stinkers like this one.
You can go back-to-back and do Chiefs-Lions if you want.
No, we're going to talk about the Bengals because we got to talk about the Bengals. In case you didn't hear, fantasy football people of the world, Joe Flacco was traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Cincinnati Bengals. Nothing has ever been good about trading for Joe Flacco. If your franchise is trading for Joe Flacco, run. Just get the hell out of there. Bad things are happening. We haven't heard yet if Joe Flacco is immediately stepping into a starting spot, but Jake Browning is very clearly not up to the task. Nor is the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line one of the worst I've ever seen. Which is going to mean that we've got some difficult things to talk about with Ja'Marr Chase and Chase Brown. We're not even going to talk about T. Higgins. He's unstartable. Ja'Marr Chase had a good week last week. I think he had like something like 29 PPR points. That's great. It's crazy. But we can't expect that moving forward. We can't expect Ja'Marr Chase to look like Ja'Marr Chase with either Jake Browning or Joe Flacco throwing him the ball. And I don't even think I mentioned who they're playing this week. They're playing the Packers in Green Bay. The Packers are 14.5 point favorites. They're going to have to throw the ball, but assuming it is Jake Browning again starting this week, is he going to have time to get the ball off? Is he even going to have a second to... dump it off to Chase Brown? is anything going to happen that we like for the Bengals? And I have to say the answer is no. Last week, I had a wild take that Ja'Marr Chase was not a start, or at least not a guaranteed start, and he dropped 29 on my head, which he's apt to do. I'm going to roll back my statement a little bit, because they are going to have to throw a lot this week. They're going to be down by a lot, and it's going to be ugly. So I think Ja'Marr Chase probably more... I mean, you have to start him because of who he is. And it's ugly. It's painful. You're not going to have fun watching those games. He's either going to get you 1 point or 100, and it's going to feel... going to feel real gross. Chase Brown, I don't like this. I'm not starting him. Flex if I have to, and I don't even like that. Moving over to the Packers, this is as close to a must-start week for all of their big guys as there is. Josh Jacobs is a must-start. Tucker Kraft is a must-start. Jordan Love, if you need a streamer, this is a good week to stream. And then there are those wretched little wide receivers over there in Green Bay. What do we do with them? Probably continuing to do nothing, because I don't think they're going to need to run. I don't think they're going to need to throw into the second half in this game. I think it's going to be pretty well in hand. And I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a massive week. Still don't trust the wide receivers in Green Bay, still not going to offer them the benefit of a spot start. And that's just a gross, ugly game. But Stu, you've got a good one to talk about. Talk about what should be a close game for Sunday Night Football.
Yes, absolutely. So Detroit is coming into Arrowhead. That should be a really fun game. The current line is the Chiefs are 2.5-point home favorites. I remember last time a good team, well, when we called the Ravens a good team, walked into Arrowhead. It was kind of a push, and this feels like a push, but I'm not betting against the Chiefs on this one. Let's go with the home team. Patrick Mahomes is playing like an MVP caliber player. Good for him. He's had some really bad fantasy seasons in years past, but he is showing out on the big stage, and he's doing it without his top option in Rashee Rice, who remains suspended. I think this is his last week for a suspension, so he should be back next week. So for now, Xavier Worthy is going to get the lion's share of the looks. He's a startable asset as a wide receiver too. We've got Travis Kelce, who's playing as a tight end one, but just he's more like Hunter Henry than the Travis Kelce we know. So other people to consider on the receiving core, we've got Tyquan Thornton, who is kind of quietly had a really good season so far. 3 touchdowns in 3 consecutive weeks. Last week, we had 3 for 90 on 5 targets. He's someone you could possibly spot start in this game, because this is going to be a high-scoring game, most likely. The over-under is currently sitting at 52.5, so you really want pieces in this game. Tyquan Thornton, I would not hate it if he was a spot start this week. On the running backs, Pacheco looked better last week. I know he's been incredibly disappointing, but he looked like he had a little bit of juice. I still prefer Kareem Hunt, because Kareem Hunt is getting the touchdowns. So you want to, you know, with low volume running backs, you're going to want to get a score, and that's the guy I'm going to bet on is Kareem Hunt. On the flip side, the Detroit Lions, starting with the quarterback, Jared Goff. You know, going into Arrowhead is going to be really, really tough for Jared Goff. I'd find a way to not start him if I can. You have him as a QB2 or something like that, but there should be better options. He's started the season in the streaming category anyway, and this is a kind of an avoid game, in my opinion. Jahmyr Gibbs is, of course, always a start as an RB1. David Montgomery is a little bit more of a hesitant RB2, but I still think he is a start in this game. I think he'll get enough of an opportunity, but, of course, David Montgomery shines when the Detroit Lions are winning, and it may not always be the case on Sunday night that they are ahead. Sam Laporta is an uninspiring start as a tight end one, And in the wide receiver game, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's going to score again. You can just put that in the bank already. The man is a machine. So much respect for Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's one of my favorite players in the league. The one that I really want to talk about is Jameson Williams, because I really disagree with the sentiment that he's droppable. You play the game with Jameson Williams that you don't know when he's going to blow up, but you're going to hate it if he's on your bench, and you're going to love it if he's in your lineup. He is a better real-life football player than he is a fantasy football player. He's never had, I think it's never more than 5 receptions in a single game in his career, which is pretty incredible. But this is a game that I still want to give him a chance. If he goes into Kansas City and in week 7 against Tampa Bay has stinker weeks, then I can drop him through his bye in week 8. But right now, I think it is premature to drop Jameson Williams. That's my opinion. He could very well prove me wrong here on Sunday night. But James, got anything on this game, or are we heading into Monday?
No, I'm ready to go into Monday. Well, actually, I also kind of like Tyquan Thornton for the spot start that you mentioned there. I have been very interested in him, and also very interested in what's going to happen when Rashee Rice comes back. Is he going to step into that role that he had at the start of last year? It's kind of been a longer than a 365-day pondering that we've had. It's been almost like 2 years talking about his suspension that he may or may not get, that he did get, and then with the Patrick Mahomes diving into his knee. It's going to be interesting for all of us. But I'm heading to the first of our two Monday Night Football games, talking about the Bills and the Falcons. We kind of know what the Bills are. We don't really know or understand the Atlanta Falcons. We understand that they are bad, but we don't really understand how bad. So the Falcons are hosting. The Bills are 4.5-point favorites, which seems low until you remember that they lost to the Patriots, who don't have a very good defense. At least we don't think so, but they do have Vrabel, so they seem to be turning things around pretty quickly. But for the Falcons, they have lost to the Titans, that was preseason. They have lost to the Panthers, 30-0, who are a very bad team. They lost to the Bucks, close, who we think are a good team. They beat the Vikings, 22-6. And they just beat the Commanders in week 4, 34-27. So what are the Falcons? I don't know. I don't expect them to come into this game against the Bills and be all that competitive, but we're here for fantasy football, so let's talk fantasy football. Josh Allen, auto start, obviously. Then there's everybody else to talk about. Dalton Kincaid, also an auto start. James Cook last week had his worst game of the season by a significant margin. Don't panic. I know that you are worried about what he can do against teams we think are bad. Don't panic. James Cook is still one of the better running backs in the NFL. I think he bounces back relatively easily. The wide receivers are something else to talk about entirely. Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir, not necessarily in that order. Shakir is the wide receiver 28, Coleman is the wide receiver 35. Both of them I would love to be able to ignore, but this is fantasy football. People have to worry about buys and things and injuries and things, and for some reason those injuries keep happening, so we have to look at these deeper guys. If I have to start either of these guys this week, it's Khalil Shakir as an emergency flex. I would like nothing to do with Keon Coleman, and I would really like nothing to do with Khalil Shakir either, but that's where we're at on him. Moving over to the Falcons. There's really only 3 guys I want to start this week, and it's not necessarily because I want to start them. It's because they're kind of into the you have to start them category. Obviously, Bijan Robinson is up there with the best fantasy running backs. He's going to be auto start until he gets injured. Kyle Pitts, I also like. I also think for me, in my brain, he's a very startable tight end. And Drake London, you have to treat him like a starter at least most of the time. You drafted him as wide receiver one. It's been disappointing what he's been doing, but you have to continue at this point. They're going to pass a lot, but they're not probably going to score a lot. For Michael Penix, he is still the starter. This will go badly. I don't think you can expect him to have much for that Buffalo defense. If you are starting Michael Penix, you have enormous problems going on with your team, and that's the least of your issues. Can't start Tyler Algier or Darnell Mooney, and I expect this to be a more than 4.5-point blowout. Dr. Michael Stewart, would you like to take us to our final game of the evening?
Yes, we have our second Monday Night Football game. It's played just an hour after the start of the Buffalo-Atlanta game. We've got Chicago coming into Washington. The Bears are not favored. The Commanders are 4.5-point home favorites with an over-under of 49.5. So we're looking for some fireworks in this game on Monday night. And the Bears are coming off their bye week. So if I'm inclined to trust a team, it's usually right after their bye week. They've had a lot of time to watch, prepare, and formulate a game plan. So I think Caleb Williams is a worthy start in this game if you have him. Rome Odunze, of course, is an automatic start. He has been really good to start the season. He's passed his bye. Now you can just enjoy him the rest of the season. DJ Moore is the interesting one. Find a way to keep him on your bench if possible. That's a really, really disappointing bust pick of a draft pick right there. We'll have to see if he finds some sort of rapport with Caleb Williams, but at this point, I'm not really holding my breath for DJ Moore as a not really Ben Johnson acquisition. He was just kind of there when Ben Johnson took over, so we'll have to see how that works out over the rest of the season. Luther Burden is waiver bait at this point. Running backs, DeAndre Swift is one of those that you're going to start because you don't have too many other options, and he's getting all of the volume. So he's an RB2 flex target for sure. I'm just watching you two fantasy acquisitions on my phone while I'm talking. You need to lock in, James.
I'm locked in.
Anyway. On the flip side, we've got the Commanders. Jaden Daniels, back from his knee injury last week. Pretty pedestrian game, but still startable as a quarterback one. Need to keep an eye on Terry McLaurin, who has an outside shot of playing in this game. He did not practice on Wednesday, so I'm not really optimistic. We need to find something else to fill the hole in our lineups, fellow Terry McLaurin managers. Deebo Samuel is a wide receiver one. I don't really want to talk about Deebo Samuel after calling him old, washed, and done early on in the off season, but that was mostly just trauma talking. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, rookie running back. He finally got all the volume, and he exploded last week. Only on 14 carries, he had over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 more receptions for almost 40 yards. So it's been kind of up and down for the running back room over there in Washington. You know, some days Ja'Cory doesn't get any work at all. Some days he gets it all. Hopefully this is a wake-up call to the coaching staff that he needs to be getting the ball frequently, and he can do a lot with the ball in his hands. So let's see. Zach Ertz put up a goose egg for you last week. An uninspiring start if you are starting him. I personally have a little more self-respect than that, so I would not recommend starting Zach Ertz. Other than that, one person you might want to keep an eye on if you want to need a deep flyer is Luke McCaffrey. What is that? He's a little brother of Christian, right? Christian McCaffrey?
Mm-hmm.
He's not getting a lot of volume, but he is putting up fantasy points. He has 2 touchdowns in the last 3 games, and they just need something in the wake of Terry McLaurin being out for so long. So he could very well be worth a look in deeper leagues, James. That is week six.
Woo! Another one in the books, or going to be in the book. Another recording in the books.
Only 11 more to go.
11 more to go. It's been a little bit of a long day for both of us, Stu. How about we drink something? What are you drinking? It's last call.
Yeah, so quick one for me today. This is a repeat from about a month ago. It was one of our requested from our good buddy Ethan from Third Nature Brewing. It is the West Nature IPA. I'm enjoying it. I'm almost out of it. I don't drink beer super often at this point, mostly during these recordings, so I have a little bit left to clean up the stock, but I'm enjoying it, and I'm not usually an IPA guy, James.
All right. I got something interesting for us this week from a well-known Chicago brewery from Off Color Brewing in their Beer 4 series. This is the Beer for Tacos. And if you're a fan of can art, this one's got a little mouse holding a taco. It's great. But this is a ghost-style beer with lime juice and salt added to it. A ghost, for those of you who don't know, that is a Belgian-style kind of fruity beer. And it is not something I would normally drink, but this beer in particular, it kind of tastes like if a beer and a margarita had a baby. So let's party and open these things in 3, 2, 1. And it just smells like a beach. Stu, closing thoughts.
Well, reach out to us on our socials. We're on Instagram and X at FantasyFootBeer on both platforms. We do take beer recommendations at FantasyFootBeer@gmail.com. I have one in my back pocket. I'm going to get to it. I just need to find my way to that part of Indianapolis because I looked for it the other day and did not find it. But I've heard you. I'm gonna get it, and we'll have it soon, hopefully. But other than that, James, no, I'm just looking forward to week six. We'll see you back here, maybe same time, same place, for week seven.
All right. And before I close this out here, we got some interesting news, interesting things happening. Thanks to the work of some of our mutual friends, it looks like we're going to be getting a website up and running. We're going to have a fantasyfootbeer.com where you're going to be able to read the thoughts of myself and of Dr. Stu if he chooses to take up the writing game, and see what kind of things we can throw out there for you guys to interact with. Obviously, we're still going to keep doing the podcast. We're having a great time with it. But it's an interesting way for us to kind of expand a little bit and talk about more. So, I think that just about wraps things up for us. Look out for that. Look out for our socials. And for all of us here on Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good talk.